It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome into the show. A Tuesday edition. The morning after the Astros lost to the Braves, and it was very similar to what we see from the Astros quite a bit when they lose ball games. The hitting falls apart or disappears completely, and some aspect of the pitching staff blows up. Unfortunately, once again, it was your highest price acquisition this offseason. Josh Hader was awful. The Braves smacked him around when just Joe Espada just brought him in to keep it keep them in it. You know, the bullpen and Arrigetti did their jobs. It was still 2-1 despite the Astros struggling to string anything together offensively. And you bring in Hader to keep you in the game to give you one final chance. And he did anything but that. He was terrible. His ERA is now over 9. And the Astros go down to the Braves. And it was a combination of things beyond Hader. You had Arrigetti, who, as we talked about yesterday, probably wasn't going to go very deep in the game, but Sean and I had low expectations. We just wanted him to leave the game with the Astros still in it, and that's what he did. Four innings, four hits, couple earned runs, and five Ks, couple walks. So if we were taking stock of his performance compared to certainly what happened in his first outing, his first start, you're going to go, thank you, Spencer, for keeping the club in the ballgame. If you would have told me he would only give up 2 runs through 4, I would have said the Astros had a pretty good chance to win. The Braves countered with Darius Vines, who didn't go very deep in the game, but he stymied the Astros enough to get into the Braves bullpen, who pretty much performed similarly to the Astros until Josh Hader showed up. 4 runs, 4 hits, and a walk. And as I said, the ERA over 9, he got one out. He couldn't even finish the inning. And the Astros go down 6-1. So a couple of things to remember from the ball game beyond Jose Abreu being terrible at the plate. Now, I know Jeremy Peña is going to get the throwing error. But even at the time, I thought, okay, you're trying to save a run. Come off the bag. I get it. If you stay on the bag and make the pick, then you're out of the inning. But it was pretty clear, at least from the angles we saw in the replay, that that wasn't going to happen. You need to hold that runner at third and let Spencer Arrigetti get another chance to get out of the inning. He didn't. Excuse me. That tied the game. Peña's throwing error tied the game, and then Albies was hit by a pitch, and that gave the Braves their 2-1 lead. But that wasn't the cause of the loss. It would have helped to do anything possible to keep that run from scoring, but the lineup disappeared. And it isn't as if Darius Vines and his changeup is something that people fear, and the Astros had nothing for him, and it's just disappointing. You come off the Rangers series, you feel pretty good about yourself, you get a good enough performance from Arrigetti. We'll hear from Joe Espada. He talked about what Arrigetti did, and you think, okay, you get that type of outing, and you have a real shot, and you did, and you just got nothing. Altuve, great, now hitting over 400. Yordan was disappointing last night, as was the rest of the lineup. Alex Bregman got 2 hits, so his batting average is now over 250, so maybe Alex Bregman is coming out of his early season slump, as you might expect. He's just bad early in the season, and the rest of the lineup had 1 hit between them. So Bregman and Altuve had two hits between them, five of the seven hits. Then you had Peña and Dubon. And once again, the Astros 1-for-7 in scoring position with runners in scoring position, and that doomed them until the Hader outing. Does it make you feel good, Sean, that the Astros bullpen has the second worst when it comes to costing their team's wins? They are second worst. Now, the Marlins are clearly the worst. They have it's over 1 run. They've doubled the Astros as far as contributing to losses with the bullpen is concerned.
I'm surprised it's just the bullpen with the Marlins.
Yeah, the Marlins overall have been terrible.
I would have thought that the starters blew them some games.
But they have. Okay. But as far as bullpen ranks, the Astros are a clear second, but the Marlins have doubled that. So we know the Astros' bullpen has been terrible.
And the Marlins have like three wins.
Yes. So it's not great to be in second place as far as as far as in that category of bullpen costing you.
No. Why would that make me feel better?
I don't know if I asked you if it made you feel better.
You asked me if it makes me feel good.
Yeah, does it make you feel good?
No,
it doesn't. Just doesn't.
Short answer, no.
No.
Especially when, you know, last night it was there's a point where the Taylor Scotts and even Seth Martinez, the Brandon Belaks, Rafael Monteros, it's like, okay, I get it if they blow the game. But when it's one of the last three guys, when it's Abreu, Presley, and in last night's case, Hader, that's where you're just like, okay, you just cannot be having this. And I get it, they're still down when Hader came in, but it turned from a one-run game where, hey, it's not inconceivable that there's a rally in the ninth to either send it to extras or to win. But then to just take the game in your own hands in the bad way and give up four runs again while you're getting paid the most by any reliever in MLB history, that sucks.
It definitely sucks.
I wouldn't be fine, but I'd understand if this was some of the middle relief issues. But the fact that it's Hader, Hader, Presley, and Abreu, like, I'm sorry, they don't have to be perfect every time that they're out there, but they can't.
You can't be that. You can't be awful.
Yes, you can't take the game from, you know, I don't actually have the win expectancy thing in front of me, but you can't take it from like a 40% to a 0% when you go out there.
I'll try to pull that up and see where it was when he entered the game and then when he exited. But, yeah, you have a real shot now. The Astros lineup was not good last night, but it's the bottom of the ninth. You know, maybe the Braves closer has a rough outing and you find a way to pull out a victory when you've been relatively silent since the first inning. But to do that, to remove all chances and just suck the energy out of the ballpark. This, you know, the wave had people going. We'll hear from Todd Callis.
Yeah.
You know the season is wearing on Todd Callis when he has about a 15-second rant about how the wave sucks and why fans shouldn't do it. That's where he's at as far as this season's gone on. But
I like bitter Todd Callis as a character.
He's seen nothing but success here, yeah, calling games, and now he's got to deal with this team. And Josh Hader and the wave, all those things combined to lead to it wasn't egregious, but he took issue with the fans and Blummer chimed in as well. So we'll hear from those guys. It was an entertaining moment, and what I didn't suspect would turn into a misery in the next 20 minutes when Hader couldn't get an out. One out, four runs given up, and we took any chance to win that ball game away. And it came from your highest paid reliever, and maybe he's one of those guys who, if you're not giving him closing opportunity, he's just going to be this type. Joe Musgrove, a former Astro, was with Hader at a previous stop and talked about how nice it is to have a guy who can get you more than outs in the ninth inning. He didn't mention Hader by name, but he was talking about complimenting their current ninth inning guy, their current closer, and saying, hey, it's pretty nice to not have to worry about working around how this guy wants how he wants to come in the games and get out. So it was a less than thinly veiled shot at Hader, and maybe that's what he is. He's our next Ken Giles. Ken Giles was really good at times when he was closing ball games. Anytime else, he wound up being terrible, the butt of jokes, and eventually punching himself in the face. So
don't do that, Josh.
Just don't hit yourself in the face, please.
Be bad. Like, don't keep blowing games too, but
don't revert. Don't have it result in you hitting yourself in the face or punching a wall, because that is something that relievers do too. They'll punch a wall and they're out for 2 months.
Yeah, shout out to Phil Maton.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's your livelihood. Like, even I know I guess you're failing and it hurts and you're frustrated. Open hand the wall. Yeah. Just with your open hand, you'll survive that and still get out whenever you want to get out, as far as anger is concerned.
I'd be careful if I was a pitcher with, like, steak knives, and you know, I'd be careful with anything happening to closing car doors, anything that has to do with my hands. I can't imagine being like, you know what?
And then coming and explaining that to your manager, the rest of your team, I'm going to be out for 2 months. I broke my hand punching a wall.
Idiot.
One of the more embarrassing ways to miss time. At least Jeff Kent was like, I fell washing my truck. And that's why I'm going to miss time.
Not believable.
No, it wasn't. And no one believed that time. I would definitely make up an excuse. I'm not telling people I'm stupid and I punched a wall and now I can't play for a couple months. What? How much are you making? And you couldn't refrain from punching a wall because you act like a child? All right. We appreciate your efforts. We don't appreciate what Josh Hader did last night. It'll get better. He can't be over 9 forever. The ERA can't be over 9. And so it's not been great for high-priced signings for the Astros. I mentioned Abreu not coming off the bag. Yet another bad performance. Astros Twitter was not thrilled with him striking out on 88-mile-per-hour pitches down the middle. They had pitch tracks out. They
didn't love that.
No, they were not fans. Like a lot of sarcastic stuff. Like, well, how can you blame him for missing on these pitches? And he just showed a couple what you consider meatballs down the middle that he was swinging through. It's been a rough run. But just remember, his timing is off. That's all. The timing is off. He'll get it together.
I mean, because it was so slow and slow down the middle of the plate.
He couldn't believe it. He was surprised.
His timing off.
Yeah, whatever it might be, it was an all-around disappointing night. Because they were in it throughout, you got a good enough performance from your starter, and it wasn't enough. And your bullpen held it down until you got to your highest paid reliever, and then it fell apart. So you go down 6-1.
If Josh Hader just got out of that inning cleanly and they just lost 2-1, we'd be so positive right now.
I mean, sure, we got what we wanted.
Yeah,
we got,
Spencer Arrighetti.
He did what we asked him to do.
Colors.
Yeah, he, as far as this 3-game set with Arrighetti and Brown and France, we got what we wanted out of the first guy. That's kind of the average. In fact, he might have exceeded expectations. He only gave up 2 earned runs.
Yeah, I mean,
he shouldn't have given up.
He went 4 innings.
Yeah, and if not for Jeremy Pena's throwing error, maybe he doesn't give up the 2 earned runs. Abreu could have come off the bag. So he did what we asked of him. It's just the lineup didn't do that, and then Hader did what he did. So a nice performance by Hader would have changed my thoughts. Sure, you lose, but at least Hader comes out and shuts them down, and that would have been a nice bounce back from what has been a tough year for him so far. But it didn't happen. They go down. They have another game today, and you hope Hunter Brown follows the Arrighetti performance and just keeps it competitive, and you hope the lineup does what it had done against the Rangers, was really raked Rangers pitching around, and we hope that continues tonight, because losing to the Braves again and losing the series at home after the good feelings coming off the Rangers series will certainly be a change of momentum. We have other things to get to. The Texans have reported. A lot of guys are talking about the excitement around the year. Will Anderson had thoughts on the culture for the Texans and why players want to join them, and maybe not everyone is Texans worthy. I remember that phrase from long ago. Now it's back, if you believe what Will Anderson is saying. We'll hear from D'Amico. Will Anderson, C.J. Stroud spoke with the Texans, as they reported. He also was a guy who threw out a first pitch right down the middle. So people are happy because their starting quarterback can hit John Singleton in his catcher's mitt. John Singleton, who did not play, but did make an appearance on Jackie Robinson Day. So we'll get to that. There are other things to get to, including an update on Giannis. It's going to be tough for the Bucks at least early, because it appears Giannis won't be available for at least the first part of that series. A lot of stuff to get to. We're one segment in. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
By the way, going back to my wave comment, if it's a 12-3 game in the 8, you guys do all the waves you want to have a blast. When it's this kind of a game,
you're stirring it up, TJ.
I don't want the wave. I don't.
No, lock
this
in.
Has been a great game.
Okay, from a player's perspective, to your point, what you just said, I'll explain it, is if the fans were doing the wave in that situation and told me they will not focus on the game, that's the only thing I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we said.
That's Todd Callis and Jeff Blum from last night's game. That was in the eighth inning before it got away from the Astros, before Josh Hader made his appearance. The Wave upset Granato this morning, upset Todd Callis. I don't know if Todd Callis has ever gotten after the fans about the Wave. I'm not listening to every Astros game or watching it, so I don't know what he says all the time. But I kind of feel like the season's getting to Todd Callis. It's early. It's early, sure. And we know the Astros have every opportunity to turn around, but Todd Callis isn't used to this. He's been around quite a while now, but for his tenure, the Astros have been a good baseball team. They've never been this bad for this long of a stretch, at least early in the year. And now he's like, you know what, fans, cut it out. This is a good baseball game. Pay attention. Stop doing the wave. Or maybe he's just worn down by the wave. Maybe he's seen it too many times in situations where he thinks it's inappropriate and it's like, you know what, knock it off. Pay attention to the game. This team needs your help. Build some momentum. I appreciate it. I don't have one opinion. I don't really feel one way or the other about the wave. Do it or don't do it. I'm just not going to do it. I think it's embarrassing to be an adult doing it. But if you want to do it, fine. Todd Callis has had enough, though.
Yeah. I love the rules for the wave. I would love to, like, know exactly the situation that's like, can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Two-run game?
If you're
in a game of the seventh,
if it's a game where your win probability is under 25%, can you do the wave?
One team's win probability is under 25%.
Yes. If you're the home team and you're down and your win probability is under 25%, are you allowed to do the wave? Late, like six inning on. If this is the only thing that's going to keep you entertained because your team's not playing well, like if you're although the Oakland A's are actually playing pretty well, but if you're the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins, and you actually decided to go to one of their games at home, can you do the wave as soon as the game starts? Do you have enough people to do the wave?
You need people throughout the stadium to do it.
That's true.
Do the wave.
That's true. You do need that.
That's pathetic. That would be sad, is trying to do the wave at Marlins Park at like one of these day games while school's still in, and it's like 1,300 people are there. But they're lying and saying that 5,000 people are there.
Well, tickets sold, Sean. Not people not people who actually showed up to the game. Tickets sold.
Thanks, Jeffrey Loria.
Well, that's how all the owners do it. I have arbitrary rules. If you are a father with your family and you want to keep the kids entertained, I'm okay if you're doing the wave, even if it's in the eighth. But you know your kids are. This game is wearing thin on your kids. They want to do anything else but be there. You want to do the wave?
Out all the tricks.
You're trying to do anything to keep them engaged. You're hoping your Astros come back. If you're on a date, no, you don't do the wave. You can't. I don't care.
Well, you can't start the wave.
You can't do it.
You can't participate.
It depends on the level of this relationship. If you've been with this woman for 6 months and she's seen the worst of you already, you can do the wave.
How's the wave, though?
It's embarrassing.
Lumped in because, with the worst.
Because it's embarrassing. If you are on a first date, I don't care what's going on. You can't do the wave. Because even if she's encouraging you to do the wave, she's going to look at you a certain way if you get up and do it. It looks bad. You can't do it. Those are my arbitrary. This is me. It's arbitrary. I understand. There's no real science behind it. It's just my thoughts.
That's interesting.
It doesn't matter. She goes, huh, do the wave. Nah. You'll think me immediately less cool if I do the wave. You think you want to see me do the wave, but once I get up and do it, it's always going to be an image in your head. Oh, this clown.
Lift up your shirt, your belly showing.
Yeah. Or even if you, like, make a sound effect when you do it, you can't. You got to avoid. It's like being on a first date and having something in your teeth or something in your nose. These are all things that will be lasting images. And if you get up and make that sound effect while doing the wave, I'm not saying it's over for you, but it's something you have to fight to overcome. And you don't want to add obstacles initially. At some point, you charmed her so much, she thinks everything you think is cool or cute. She might be okay with it, but not on the first date. Sorry. Arbitrary, I understand. But those are my rules.
Arbitrary, and also I've never... Thank you, Todd Callis, for the stimulating conversation. Because I honestly had never really even... thought about. I don't really think about the wave. I see them do the wave, and I'm like, oh, they're doing the wave.
Yeah,
so that's it. That is the end of my wave thoughts. Is, oh, they're doing the wave.
I get it. It doesn't really do anything for me as far as the game is. Oh, okay, the fans are doing. You hear the sound in the background before you actually see it. Okay, the fans are doing a wave.
That's why it's
a wave. It wouldn't upset me so much, but I would not take part.
That's not surprising that you would not take part.
I would go, look, everyone's having a good time.
Host at the station least likely to participate in the wave. Dell, number one pick.
You think so? Yeah. I feel like I throw Paul up there, too.
I could see Paul with enough margaritas in him that he's
drunk enough.
Yes.
The Northeastern sports fan, I don't feel like he's doing the wave.
Probably not. But
I don't see Joe doing it. He's a Midwesterner by heart. I don't think he's doing the wave. I think it's
who's the most likely then?
Jeremy Branham?
No,
you don't think so.
Baseball purist.
Jeremy. That's true. He does love some numbers.
He was probably nodding along with
Todd. That's right, Todd. Yeah, you're probably right. I don't think we have.
Joel,
no. No, I don't think we actually have a group that would do it. Would B-Mac do it?
I'm not sure. I might be the most likely, just because I had zero thoughts about the
wave. Oh, look. Everyone's having fun. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Irv, I see you. You want to talk not shortest wait times, and I've never said that we have that. I see you. You want to talk television. Hold on. I just had to get my arbitrary and really non-binding rules about first dates and the wave. Just don't do it, unless that really woman really likes you. And then she'll like anything you do. Irv, we'll get you on the other side. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Granato got fired. Don Granato, the former coach for the Sabres, which is actually John Granato's cousin, Don Granato, fired. The curse of John. He went to a game last week, and now his cousin's without a job. So, blame John. I certainly do. I've certainly worked with him and got fired before.
I was going to say, think about how many people he's worked at ESPN 97.5 that's gotten...
I'm a prime example.
Yeah.
So, Don Granato fired. It's not a great...
But Don Granato might get rehired.
It's happened to me a couple times. So, it's always a possibility. Don't fret Don Granato. The former Sabres coach, no longer their coach. And as I said, related to our guy, John Granato. Irv, which he goes by a different name depending on what show he's calling, but he wants to talk about some television. What's up, Irv?
Hey, sports gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up? Wrong show, but go ahead.
What up, Bill? What up, Sean? Hey, Have y'all seen that new show, Fallout, on Amazon Prime by any chance?
I watched the entire thing over the weekend. Well, it started on Thursday, but yeah, I've seen it.
So before that, have you ever played a game besides that? And I got another thing. You know how OJ just passed away? Do you think in the afterlife he met up with Nicole and said the juice is loose?
I imagine Nicole, if what we believe to be true, at least some people believe to be true, is true, I don't think they had a meeting. I feel like that even in the afterlife, there's a restraining order against OJ, if I'm Nicole. And Ron Goldman, if we believe what is out there. I had not played the game. I knew it was a very popular game, but I went in kind of blind. I didn't even look up the game beforehand. I just wanted to watch the show because I'm a fan of a couple of people. And if you don't know, Fallout's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it right now. Has Walton Goggins, who is of Justified fame and other things. Guy eats up a scene when he's in it. We talked to Michael Carroll about it in his weekly segment on Friday. Ella Purnell. If you watch Yellow Jackets, she is one of the stars of the first season. Not a big part in the second season. And if you watch the season finale of season one, you'll figure out why. I'm in because I like the actors. It was entertaining. I didn't know any of the lore. I didn't, like I said, I didn't know much about it. But if you're looking for a humorous and true to the game adaptation, Fallout is that. It's gotten good reviews if you believe in the Rotten Tomatoes stuff. The critics there like it. And Kyle MacLachlan's in it. It's a name you might not know, but a face you'd recognize. So you're going to see a lot of people you recognize. And sometimes that's good if you don't know anything about the source material. I would recommend it. If you like post-apocalyptic stuff and gory violence, that's part of the thing, too. And mutant monsters. It's a lot of that. Just think of all the video game adaptations that are rated mature. It's kind of going to have that in it.
Is the whole series out right now?
Yes. It's they bulk dropped it. It's not a week-to-week thing. And there's no subtitles, Sean.
That helps.
That helps.
Both those help.
Yes. You can binge watch it at your leisure. You don't have to wait. And then you don't have to read very much. Unless you are a person who are now, just not you specifically, but some people are just subtitles people. Because they don't, sometimes they miss it. They miss some audio for whatever reason, bad hearing, whatever. So they have the subtitles on. I mostly put them on for British television because sometimes they say things I don't know what they're saying, depending on the accent. So I'll have it on there. But I'm in on Fallout. It's not something that's going to catch everyone because of the subject matter and just some of the violence in it. You got Walton Goggins playing a ghoul without a nose. He's a ghoul because he was affected by radiation. And now he's barely a human being anymore. And there's a line about ass jerky. So that's kind of where the show is. If you're good with that, and a dog tears apart a giant cockroach. So these are things to get ready for if you want to watch Fallout. There's no transition, so I'm just going to talk about the Texans now. I don't know how smoothly I could have gotten to that.
Something about Fallout.
Speaking of things you want to watch in bulk, I don't know. No, there's the nothing
Fallout
there.
From...
What?
Free agency? I don't know.
Nah. See what I'm saying? There's nothing there. The Texans met the media yesterday. We're at that time of the year where they're back in the facilities. Particularly for this team, there's a lot of excitement. DeMeco Ryan spoke. We had C.J. Stroud speak on how he found out about the Stephon Diggs trade. But first, we'll hear from our head coach. DeMeco Ryan was asked about Stephon Diggs and adding him. Certainly a piece to the puzzle that could elevate the Texans. There are questions about what Stephon Diggs is when he's not playing football, or at least when he's not getting the level of targets he wants. But DeMeco doesn't have any concerns right now.
Yeah, with Diggs, adding him is one of those guys I talked about. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, well respected. He's been a great teammate. He's been a leader, a captain. And, you know, when you look at him and you watch the tape and you put it on, you know, no one doubts the playmaker that he is, right? He changes games for the teams that he's been a part of, and we're anticipating the same thing for us.
Stephon Diggs. Well, you can't, for the most part, knock the production. Over the back half of his last year at Buffalo, you can start to look at maybe a potential drop-off, or maybe it'll just simply a change in how they want to run offense. We know Joe Brady took over for Ken Dorsey, and the philosophy changed. Is Stephon Diggs going to be a great teammate? That's probably going to be determined by his level of importance in the offense, which is somewhat concerning when you think him being a great teammate is all about if he's getting a lot of the attention. What Kirk Cousins and Josh Allen in a private moment say Stephon Diggs was a great teammate seems unlikely, but we don't know. I don't know the relationship he had specifically with those two. We just see the rumors and some of the stuff on the sideline, which just could be a moment in time and not the overarching theme of his relationship with those guys. But C.J. Stroud is now his quarterback. C.J. Stroud was asked a couple things. Mostly... He talked about, well, people asked him about the uniforms. They asked him about Diggs. We'll get to the Diggs thing. It was funny when he discussed Diggs and his acquisition because he wasn't aware of it until someone told him. He wasn't kept in the loop. It wasn't like the Texans asked C.J. Stroud about whether he'd love to have Stephon Diggs available and what he thought about it. He found out like a lot of us found out by a news report, and we'll get to that. But the other big story, if we want to call it a story, are the Texans uniforms. It is what's filling time between now and the draft, and eventually we'll actually have players the Texans have drafted, and then that'll be the talk. But C.J. Stroud, your quarterback, If you missed it, he was involved in the process along with a lot of fans. That video came out yesterday, but here's his thoughts on the Texans' new uniforms.
I think they're cool. You know, I think they're definitely, I don't want to say too much, but I think people like them and really excited. I think that even brings a new, like, energy to, you know, NRG, which is kind of ironic. But, you know, I think
fake
I'm super excited
laugh.
Just to be wearing new stuff. I liked the unis last year, too, you know, but I think it's time for change. And, you know, it's a new era now, and we'll be able to build with these unis and look good while doing it.
Sean, do you think his NRG illusion joke was funny? Because you nodded your head, but in the background you heard media people laughing. Would you have laughed?
No. I would have nodded my head.
Just like,
I mean, like, oh, yeah, I see what you did.
I see what you did there. I don't think it warranted laughter.
Sometimes you get the joke and you just don't laugh.
Yeah,
that's just what it is.
I understand what you're doing, but it doesn't rise to the level of me laughing.
If someone really wants to blow their mind, like, CJ, what do you think? What kind of company do you think NRG is? It's an energy company.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, look at that.
Kind of ironic, huh?
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's why they named it that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It used to be called Reliant.
Yes, and then you thought, what would be clever?
You know, the Texans aren't reliant on how good they look to play games. Kind of ironic.
I'm not laughing, but I'm nodding my head. I see what you did there.
J.J. Watt had to have said something like that at some point. I was gonna ask if any Texan has ever said that. Then I just shortened the list to J.J. Watt's hat to say.
You know, unless someone wrote it for him, I don't think he makes a joke. I saw his SNL appearance. That look, I don't know. You have your thoughts on J.J. as an actor, but he's a great cue card reader. I could tell because he was supremely focused on making sure he got those lines out. He is not Ryan Gosling.
I mean, that's unfair.
One's a trained actor. One's a football player.
The other guy.
Fine. He's not Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah, no, yes. Completely fair.
Or Eli. Eli's better at it all than right, JJ. Right. Eli is better at it than JJ. JJ wasn't great. He wasn't.
No. It's one thing when it's Peyton, you know. It's the other thing when it's Eli.
Eli's a two-time Super Bowl winner. And a better comedic actor than JJ Watt. And it's fine to be that. It's okay. Not everyone can be the Mannings. It's all right. They are pretty good at several things. Pitchmen, quarterbacks. I mean, we'll see what Arch is. Hopefully he doesn't bring the average down. Yeah.
Wait, he has to win two Super Bowls?
Well, that's the standard.
His uncles did.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be.
Well, his grandpa's dragging that average down.
It's true, but let's not hurt it anymore.
What?
Let's not hurt it anymore. Look, you don't have to be, you don't have to achieve at the highest level at the on the college ranks. Eli and Peyton were good, but never won a national title. I'm not asking for that.
I am, but
well, of course you are. Understandably, if you don't know, Sean's a big Texas guy. But on the pro level, if he gets there, he's got to win two Super Bowls, or he's a giant disappointment. Just how it goes. Sorry.
I'm glad that you're going to be the Skip Bayless for Archer Manning. So what Skip Bayless is to LeBron, that's you to Arch Manning.
I've watched those high school highlights. Stop playing against little kids, all right? You wouldn't go to camps because that's not what he's about. Or he didn't want people to see him against actual D1 athletes. We can pick and choose how we want to take him not participating in camps. I saw those kids you played against. I mean, I wasn't impressed. Now Arch is the clear backup at Texas. Malik Murphy's out.
He's the backup.
Oh, he's not even a clear backup? You don't even think he's a clear backup?
Well, you know, we'll see if Quinn Ewers makes it through.
Oh, I thought
season.
You meant he was actually battling for the number two spot.
No. It's not clear that he's the backup.
Steve Sarkisian says he's a backup, the clear backup.
But what say does he have?
All of it, actually. I know at points the Texas boosters have had their hands in things, but coming off a playoff appearance, I think he has all the say.
All right.
And Quinn Ewers certainly does as well. If he plays poorly, then Arch has a chance.
I'll drop a suggestion next time I see him.
Oh, okay. You have a just personal relationship.
Keep an open mind.
Hey, man, don't be closed-minded. You never know. Hey, that Michigan game comes around. Make a change. Don't be
tied
set in stone.
Halftime?
Yeah. Tied at halftime, you want a bench?
Yeah, if it's like 10-10.
And
there's been a lot of punts.
And there's a pick six that gives Texas their only touchdown. Quinn's struggling.
Have an open mind is all I'm saying.
You go, hey, your mentor benched Jalen Hurts in a title game. You can't bench Quinn in a early season game against Michigan.
In week two.
Yeah, you want to be like Saban? Make the move. Texas fans doing everything possible.
I wish I could be a booster that's like part of the problem.
That would be great, huh? To have the money to be so bored with your life, you can dabble in Texas football depth charts.
And then, all the peasant fans on message boards are like, man, this meddling,
Yeah.
Just because he has his name on the, tunnel or something, he thinks he can call the shots.
Well, when you're securing 4 or 5-star offensive linemen,
yeah,
you want to be able to call some shots. Understood. Exactly. Understood. I don't know how we got to where Sean's making moves to get Quinn Ewers out of the starting job, but here we are. Once again, no way to transition to this unless you're just a fan of great plumbing. And that's what Aqueduct Plumbing Company does for you. I've been talking a lot about the repiping, and repiping is certainly important because with bad pipes, you get bad water, and not just bad water, stinky, nasty water that can leak all over your floors and in your walls and destroy your home. But also, we're talking about service. Sometimes plumbing emergencies come up, and that's what Aqueduct Plumbing is there for. You don't have to wait a couple days while your floor is falling apart. Aqueduct Plumbing will come out there quickly and assess and get you right. And if you want to call them, it's 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238. Plumbing emergency, call Aqueduct Plumbing. They'll get you right. They have local contractors, experienced ones. And if it is about repiping, they've done over 1,000 of those. So if you want an expert, they have those guys there for you. You get a free best, and it's the best price quote in town. Not just free, it's the best price quote in town. And they'll solve your leaking problems today. As I mentioned, those experienced plumbers, they're local. Billy Brown is local. He's from the Clear Lake area. So you want experience, you want local, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place for you. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Yeah, it was a lot at the Pro Bowl, man. It was a lot of guys like, yeah, tell them I'm trying to come over there. Like, tell D'Amico I'm loving what I'm saying, but I'm like, Texas ain't for everybody, man. It's just a different type of DNA you have to have to play here, man. It's a different type of character you have to have. And you just gotta love football, man. And I think, you know, the front office and coach, they do a really good job of choosing the guys that they want to be in here, that, you know, can help change the culture and help keep uplifting the culture.
Hashtag Texans culture, hardest working, fittest, whatever the hell the heat right on their floor. Is that what the Texans are now? There are only certain guys who can play here. There was a discussion about that this morning. John and Lance had different sides of it. John is more pragmatic. Lance is all in on this Texans team. He doesn't care what is said. Everyone else is poverty when it's compared to his Texans, mostly because of his quarterback. But Will Anderson had a big part to play in that, too. Will Anderson's only known as far as his pro career, the Texans, and then he came from Alabama, two places where certainly it does take a type. So you have to be really talented. You have to be willing to max out, at least in Alabama. The whole only certain people can play for the Texans, I don't know that. Stephon Diggs can play for the Texans. Stephon Diggs came from the Bills, a very successful franchise. Now, they didn't win at the highest level. That's why they're in a bit of a transition as far as veterans leaving their organization. But I don't know what that means, only a certain type. You mean hardworking, talented football players. Those guys can fit in a lot of places. The Texans aren't unique in that regard. And we'll see what Texans culture means going forward. The schedule will certainly get tougher, and it'll probably test them differently than last year did when not much was expected. They surprised people. They were one of the best stories in the league last year, and now people are on the bandwagon in different ways. Some people think this Texans team has a real shot to contend for a Super Bowl. I think you solidify your defensive tackle position and your secondary, and I'd be right there with you. I don't know if you can get all that done in the draft, but you want to put them in the top seven of the AFC, top six, I'm cool with that. I understand that. But Texans culture, I think that's built up over multiple years, and you have a great foundation going forward. Going forward, a lot of teams have hardworking, talented players. I am interested to see if that becomes a thing for the Texans, where we knew they were a franchise who stayed away from certain players because of the off-the-field stuff. Maybe they become a team where people go, okay, that guy couldn't play for the Texans. If that happens, then you know D'Amico Ryans is doing something really, 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 really big, where the whole league knows there are certain types of players who couldn't play for the Texans. If we get to that point, more power to them, and just more evidence that the Texans have hired the right guy. I hope hashtag Texans culture becomes a thing and people get sick of it.
Yeah. Texans culture. 1 year is all it takes for someone to be like, it's not for everybody.
Well, I don't even know what that means so early in the process.
I guess, you know what? I guess like the David Culley, Jack Easterby era, probably also not for everybody.
Not for anyone in the city, really. No one wanted that era to continue.
So, you know, it's just kind of continuing that. No, you love to hear it, but it's also like kind of a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah. You made it to the divisional round. You've done that before. This franchise has done that before. It ain't unique.
10 wins and a divisional round loss.
Winning the AFC South and losing in the divisional round. Who could have seen that before? Who has seen that before for the Texans? It has been their high water mark for years now. They matched it in year one, which is great. 9-7, 10-7. It's happened before, and it happened again. Now the hope is you take the next step. You seem very far away from taking that step, at least if we think about the second half against the Ravens. But you know, you had talent at the defensive end position and wide receiver. Those are big money, big name, high profile guys who are on your team, Danielle Hunter and Stephon Diggs. I am still concerned about the interior of the offensive line. You have to hope for health there. Kenyon Green was mentioned by D'Amico Ryans, said he will compete for a starting job. Ooh, that don't feel good. What else is he going to say about a recent first round pick? I will certainly take that. And if you have that opinion, I will take that and realize sometimes you just got to be a coach. You just got to say stuff to make sure you keep one of the guys in the fold. Don't immediately write them off this early into the offseason program.
And you have to use the word compete.
Yeah. You're not giving it to him, but he's going to get a chance. And if he plays well, sure. If that happens. And they like Kenyon Green. I mean, D'Amico Ryans was very positive about him, said he has some things to take care of, and we know he didn't play at all last year. So if Kenyon Green comes back and he pulls a Derek Stingley, where some people were writing off Stingley because of play and a lack of health going into last year, great. If Nick Cassero can hit on the 2022 draft and 2023 draft in those ways, we're talking about a guy who's kind of flipped the script on his GM tenure, because all the questions were about Nick Cassero coming off the 2022 draft when Stingley and Kenyon Green were not healthy, and if they did play, weren't good. And then you see 2023, when you know the names, Tank and CJ and Will Anderson, all performers. So we're in the mode where you get Kenyon Green to show up and play and be healthy. We're talking about Nick Cassero as one of the best execs as far as drafting in the league, which is a big departure from what we thought before. I can't imagine being able to say that. And we're just a couple years removed from saying, why is he still here? How did he survive?
It goes to show that if you just absolutely nail it with, I mean, Will Anderson too, defensive player, the defensive rookie of the year, but mostly just nail it with quarterback.
Yeah, it changes the perspective. Like if Will Anderson was great, and then you missed out on quarterback,
or if they just had the first pick and picked Bryce Young.
They took Bryce Young, and Bryce Young, as people said, probably would be better as a Texan than he was as a Panther. But if he's not CJ Stroud, and you have an average year, you don't make the playoffs, you win like six or seven games, the feeling would be different. So certainly hitting on the quarterback changes perspectives.
Will Anderson isn't going, Texans football, not for everybody.
Yeah, 7-9. You're right. I don't want to be that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah.
It's not for me. I don't want to be 7-10. Excuse me.
At a certain point, and again, this is why it's crazy that it all happened in 1 year. Really, what he's saying is that they're not even recruiting. They're turning people down. They're closing the door. He's slamming the door shut on people's faces that want to play for the Texans.
It is very Dabo Swinney of him. He didn't play for him, but that's what Dabo would do. Hey, there are only certain types we want at Clemson. Yeah, sure, we could be out for all the 5 stars, but only a certain type of player fits at Clemson.
We're a family here.
And sometimes one of those players is the son of my defensive coordinator. How many Venables were running around that defensive depth chart?
There's a couple of Sweeney.
Well, at least those guys weren't starters. Venables had his son playing safety in a title game, or at least a playoff game, as a starter. I think his son was a starting safety against that great LSU team. I was like, all right, Venables.
Did they win?
No, they did not win.
Well,
no.
at least not against LSU. Didn't throw over his head every time.
Well, he had a couple.
Oh, what?
Yeah, that's surprising, right? Look, I'm sure the Venables kid was a great player on the high school level.
Coach on the field.
Yeah, all the things that you say. But you're telling me that at Clemson you couldn't find a kid that was better than the coach's kid whose best other offer was from Coastal Carolina? And I looked up. I'm not just making that up. I did the research years ago because I was like, how the hell is a Venables kid starting at safety for them?
Look at his 247.
I was like, yeah, exactly. And Coastal Carolina was his best offer at the time. Coastal Carolina was a good program, still a pretty good program. But stop it. Nepo baby, get out of here.
Nepo safety.
Nepo safety, exactly. You're telling me? I know Clemson takes a certain type of kid and we only recruit the best and we want Clemson to be family. But you could have found a better safety to be the back end when Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are playing wide receiver when you're trying to win a national title. And then you try to fool me by putting one of your kids at linebacker too and make me think that was the best option. Cut it out, Venables. Good luck, Oklahoma. I'm done ranting about college football. Hour one of the program in the books. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.